Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Yud Gimel. We begin at the two dots, which is the start of the fourth line on Yud Gimel Omen Aleph. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Jill Sider, Yosefa Bas Herschel Tzvi. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. And as well, we continue to learn for the safety of all the Chayalim and Kochos HaBitochot in Eretz Yisrael. They should be safe against our Rishon enemies and B'ezus Hashem. They should be successful and bring back the hostages, B'mehera, safely and in good health. And B'ezus Hashem, all those in need of a refuah shlema should have one B'mehera as well. Okay, Gufa, we pick up Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top. We're going to actually quote the Braisa that we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, so we will not go and discuss where we're up to, because we're going to say it again in a second. And in fact, this is a little bit unusual. We're going to quote not only the part of the Braisa that we had in our Gemara yesterday, but we're going to quote the complete Braisa now. So this Gufa actually is not just repeating what we learned yesterday, it's adding on additional material as well. So the Braisa we learned yesterday was the case that if a person was given over a shlomim from his friend to watch, and he denies having gotten it, and then afterwards he says, I swore falsely, I really did get it for you, so he's chayev to pay for the principal, he has to pay a chomesh, and he also has to bring an osham. So we learn this out from the pasuk, which says, Umar lo mal bahashem. It says that in this situation where he's swearing falsely against his friend, it's called Umar lo mal bahashem. So therefore, the Braisa had said, this comes to include the opinion of Yosef Lili, Lerabos kachim kalim shehem amono. Here Yosef Lili. This is what we learned out, that according to Yosef Lili, the kachim kalim that he swore falsely about are considered that person's. And therefore, if you had stolen from Hektish a item that was kachi kodashim, you would not have to pay the make the shvua and pay in that situation the extra chomish and bring in asham. But against kachi kalim, which are considered the person who owns it is the owner of the kachi kalim, you would have to pay. These are the words of Yosef Glili. This is what we had yesterday. But now we quote further in that brisa. We have the opinion of Ben Azai. Ben Azai, Rashi says, is coming along to explain Rav Yosef Glili. And Ben Azai Omer Lirabos Es Hashlomim. He's saying that Rav Yosef Glili is coming specifically to include a shlomim in this situation as Umar Lomal Bashem. And along comes Abba Yossi ben Dustoi, Omer, no. Lo Amar ben Azai. Ben Azai is actually coming only to teach us Ella b'Bechor b'Vad, that Rav Yosef Glili is only saying his din in regards to Bechor, but not in regards to Shlomim. Now, that's the full Braisa. Now we'll dissect it. Omer Mar. Now we go back and repeat only part of the Braisa. Gufa usually means the whole item, and Omer Mar means only a small part of it. So Omer Mar, we're now going to discuss the statement of Ben Azai. There's two ways to understand Ben Azai. So Ben Azai Omer Lirabos Es HaShlomim. So the first way we're going to understand it is the way we had said, that he's coming to explain Rav Yosef HaGlili, and that Rav Yosef HaGlili is referring specifically to a shlomim. When he says, Lirabos kochim kalim shehem amono, he's referring to a shlomim. So that implies that he's excluding other types of kochim kalim. Limute mai, what is he coming to exclude if he's only saying that it should come to include a shlomim? So if you're going to tell me ilemo limute bechor, if he's coming to say that it was a bechor that was owned by the person and he lent it to his friend and the friend denied it and swore falsely and then afterwards said, I'm sorry, I swore falsely, and in that situation, this din doesn't apply, he wouldn't have to pay the keren, the chomesh, and bring an asham. So in that situation, if you're telling me it comes to exclude a bechor, it doesn't make any sense. Ilemo limute bechor, hashta umashlam, a shlamim, which has more kedusha to it than a bechor, and that it has several other activities that would have to be done to it, such as shetu'unim smicha, you'd have to go and lean on the animal, so it has more kedusha than a bechor, which you don't have to lean on. Unesachim, you have to bring the various nesachim that come along with it, like we lean on in the various parashos in Parashas Pinchas, where it tells us that Shlosha Esrim Lapor, Shnei Esrim La'ayil, V'Yisrom La'keves, so all of the various libations that you bring along with a shlamim, which do not apply to Bechor. There are no Nesachim that come with a Bechor. Usnufas Chazei V'Shok, and the Chazei and the Shok, which are Matnos Kahuna, which you give to the Kohen, you have to waive them. And that's a din by shlamim, and it's not a din by Bechor. So if you're telling me by shlamim, it's still considered kachi kalim shehem amonam, so armis mamun ba'alim ho, you're telling me by shlamim, it's considered the person owns it, even though it has these additional items of kedusha to them. So certainly bechor, which doesn't have any of these items, mabayim, would you need to tell me that a bechor is considered not his own property? No, of course the bechor is considered his property as well. So according to this understanding of Ben Azai, he's adding on not only a shlamim, he's also including Bechor, but he's excluding Ella, Amar Rav Yochanan, Limute Meiser. Ben Aze is coming along to tell us, yes, Rav Yossi Lili holds Kachikalim or Shlomim, and of course also Bechor, but it doesn't include Meiser Behema. If a person has more than 10 animals that are born in a certain year, in a halachic year. So in that situation, he has to give one out of every 10. He passes them through the corral. The number 10, he declares Maisa Behema. He puts on it the red paint. And will the dinum of Maisa Behema apply? Which means that he brings it as a carbon himself. He doesn't give it to anybody. He brings it as a carbon himself. Now, the dinum of Maisa Behema are, in fact, excluded from being called the owner of that Behema in regards to this din of Umar Lomal Bashem. Why is that? Because by Bechor, it tells us, Bibechor ne'amar lo sifte, kiddetayin, we learned this by itself, Bibechor ne'amar lo sifte, in regards to a Bechor, there is no din of redemption. A Bechor, it's brought as a tamim, as a carbon, and if it gets a blemish, so then it's just eaten by the Kohen who got this Bechor. He's not allowed to redeem it. There is no such thing as redemption. So Bibechor ne'amar lo sifte, it tells us you're not allowed to go and redeem it. But if you have it, v'nimkar tom chai, if it's still alive, it hasn't been shechted yet, so the Kohen can sell it to another Kohen. Ba mum, if it has a mum, so then the Kohen who has this ba mum is now allowed to sell it while it's alive to somebody else, or b'shachur, who can shecht it and go and sell the meat to somebody else. There are some limitations in terms of some of the dinim of selling it. You don't sell it in the marketplace, in what's called the itlis. You sell it in a different way, so not to be mevaza, the b'chor, but the bottom line is, he's allowed to sell it while it's alive, if it hasn't been, doesn't have a mum, and he's allowed to sell it if it does have a mum, either while it's alive or after he shechted it. And that's the din by Bechor. However, the Meiser, in regards to Meiser Behema, Ne'amar lo yigal, the Pasuk also tells us you're not allowed to go and redeem a Meiser Behema. It has its Kedusha and it can't be redeemed. But by Maisa Behema, it also tells us the Eino Nimkar, it can never be sold, lo chai, lo shochet, not while it's alive, and not if it's been shechted. So therefore, this is true whether it's a tam or a bamum, lo tam, lo bamum. So therefore, the din of Maisa Behema, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that Ben Aze is excluding this because you see, you can't sell it, so it's not considered yours. A Bechor, you have the right to sell, and certainly Shlomim is considered yours. So what Ben Azai, according to Rav Yochanan, is coming to exclude is just the din of Maisa Behema. And Rav Yossi HaGalili is saying that Shlomim and certainly Bechor are included as being yours, and you're an owner in them, as opposed to Maisa Behema, that you're not considered the Baal of the Maisa Behema. Okay. This is the first way to understand the statement of Rav Yochanan. Ravina, Mas de Lo Asefa. Ravina understood Rav Yochanan's statement going on the second part, on the statement that Abba Yossi ben Dustoy made. What was that? Abba Yossi ben Dustoy Omer, Lo Amar ben Azai Ela B'Bechor Bilvad. He said that when Ben Azai came along to explain Rav Yossi HaGlili, he's saying that he's only talking about Bechor, just Bechor, as opposed to what? Lemute Mai? As opposed to what is he excluding and saying that Rav Yossi HaGlili only says it applies to Bechor. So if he's excluding Ilem Olemute Shlomim, if you can tell me that he disagrees with Ben Azai and says, no, Yossi HaGlili is not talking about a Shlomim, so that doesn't make any sense. Uma Bechor shekodesh mirechem. A Bechor has Kedusha the moment it's born. It gets its Kedusha from inside the mother's womb. It is considered a Bechor mirechem. So it has more Kedusha in the sense that it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's declared immediately from birth to be a Bechor. And nevertheless, Mamonahu, he's saying that this is indeed considered that the person who owns it, it's his in regards to the din of Mor Mor Bashem, so then certainly Shlomim Mibaya, would you have to tell me that he also includes a Shlomim? Of course he does, because Shlomim only got his Kedusha whenever the person said this is going to be a Shlomim. So it doesn't make any sense to say that Abba Yossi ben Dustoy is coming to say it's only Bechor and not a Shlomim. So what then is he including? So Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says he's coming to exclude Limu'ute Meiser. He's excluding Meiser Behema. Kidatanya, as the Brisa tells us, it says, Bibechor ne'amar lo sifte, the same Brisa we had before, in regards to Bechor, it says you're not allowed to go and redeem it. So, and in that right, for the Bechor, v'nim kartam chai, you're allowed to sell it while it's unblemished to somebody else, ubal mum, and if it has a mum, then you're allowed to sell it whether it's before Shechita or after Shechita, Chayav Shochet. So you see that in regards to the Bechor, it is considered the owner's property. He can go and sell it. As opposed to in Ma'aser Behema, the Ma'aser, Nemar Lo Yigal, the Pasuk says you're not allowed to go and redeem it. And there it says, Ve'enu Nimkar Lo Chayav Lo Shochet, Lo Tam Lo Balmam. It absolutely is considered the property, so to say, of the owner. So therefore, that is according to this opinion of Rav Yochanan, that's what Abba Yossi ben Dustoy is coming to say, that the din only applies to a Bechor and to a Shlomim. Same conclusion as we had it before, but coming from a different point of view, and it doesn't apply to Ma'aser Behema. But Gemara says, wait a second, but that's not what Abba Yossi ben Dustoy said. He just said it only applies to a Bechor, implying that he's not saying it applies to Shlomim as well. So there's a kasha. Okay, so we leave it as a kasha. It's a little bit unclear why he used this lashon of only ha-bibchor bilvad kamar. So that's a kasha with the understanding of Ravina that it goes, Rav Yochanan's statement goes on Abba Yossi ben Dustoy and not on Ben Asay. Okay, now we have another different way of looking at it. Rav Amar, Rav says that when we have in our Mishnah, it says that the kachek kalim are what's included by Me'ila, so that's the way we've understood it too now, but not Kochi Kedoshim. So Rav has a totally different way of understanding the Mishnah when it says that items that have Me'ila are not included in the din. So Rav Amar, my Nechasim She'ein Beha Me'ila, the Nechasim in our Mishnah that said that it doesn't have Me'ila are included in the din of Nezek, but something that has Me'ila is not included in the din of Nezek. So Rav says, this is talking about Nechasim She'ein Beha Din Me'ila. It is talking about properties that don't even have a din of Me'ila at all. In other words, any kachim whatsoever, umayninu, the hedyot. So therefore, when it means nechasim she'en b'hem me'ila, it means something that is totally a chulin, something that is totally owned by a hedyot. But if there's any ownership, kachi kalim or kachi kadashim, so then the dinim of nezek don't apply. That's Rava's understanding of the Mishnah. However, the Gemara questions Rava, and ultimately Rava retracts, as you can see in the Tosos, on the top Tosos on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So Tosos there says in Dibra Masal Omer Rava, he says Al Karchuk, the end of that Tosos, Hacha Ayrila Rav Yossi Aglili, that Rava seems to retract and holds like the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili, that it's talking about Kochi Kalim and not talking about Kochi Kedoshim. So the Gemara now questions Rava, saying that it goes on everything. He says, so list the hedgehog. So why did he use this somewhat unusual lashon of saying Nechasim Shem Behemila? Just say Nechasim of the hedgehog, non holy property. So it would be much simpler. It wouldn't have opened itself up to any question as to what it means. Someone says, you're right, Kasha. According to his opinion of Rava, it's very difficult to understand why the Mishnah used the Lashon of Nechashem Behem Me'ila. It should have said Nechashem Hevyon if Rava is correct. And in fact, Rava seems to retract and holds like the opinion of Rav Yossi HaGlili that the Mishnah is referring to only Kochei Kalim as owned by the Balim, like Rav Yossi Lili said, and not referring to Kochi Kedoshim, the dinim of Nezek would not apply to Kochi Kedoshim. Okay. Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba tells us, Shlomim Shehiziku. Now, what happens if the Shlomim did the damage? Until now, we were talking about if the Shlomim were the ones that were damaged. What happens if the Shlomim did the damage? So, Shlomim Shehiziku. So, Gove Mi Bisorin, Vein Gove Mi Emurehin. So, we have to remind ourselves that a Shlomim is comprised of one of the reasons called Shlomim, because everybody gets a piece. It makes peace with everybody. In that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets his share. They're the Emurim that are sacrificed, the sacrificial fats that are sacrificed for the animal on the Mizbeach. Then there's the Kohen that gets the Chazeh and the Shok. He gets the breast area and he gets the right hind leg. And then the Balaam, they get the rest of the meat. That's one of the reasons why it's called Shlomim. It makes peace for everybody and that everybody gets a piece. A little play on the word peace. In any event, the din that Rabbi Abba is telling us is if the Shlomim was the ox that gored and it was a tam, so in that situation, Gove Mi Besorin, the person who got damaged, his shor got damaged, so the nizak, the din by a shor tam, is that you only collect chatzi nezek, and you collect it from the damaging animal. So if the damaging animal doesn't have the chatzi nezek in it, let's say the damaging animal's worth $100, and the animal that it damaged is worth $500, so the damage is $250 that you'd have to pay, but it's only $100 in and of itself, so then you only pay a maximum of $100. So that's the din normally by a short time. So here with the shlomim that went and did the damage, you only are allowed to collect from the basar, that part which is able to be eaten by the balim, but you're not allowed to go and collect from the emurin, which is the sacrificial fats. Now what exactly is this talking about? So the Gemara says, pshita, of course you can't go and take the sacrificial fats, this shlomim, this ox that gored, that's a shlomim, it's still going to be brought as a karban. So therefore, you're going to go and shecht it as a carbon, and you'll take the sacrificial fats and still have to put them up on the mizbeach. So pshita, emur l'gavolasake, you can't go and pay the person, the nizak, who had his shor damaged by your shlomim. You can't go take those sacrificial fats and give it to him. No, they of course have to go on the mizbeach. So what in the world is Rabbi Abba telling us? So the Gemara says, Lo tzricha, Rabbi Abba's did is needed for the following, to teach us, l'gova mi bisoron, Kineged emurim, to teach us that we do not go and collect from the chatzi nezek, from the sacrificial fats from the emurim. You only go and collect the chatzi nezek from the basar. And what do we mean by that? So Rashi explains in the Ramatz Lo Tzricha, he says, Hadik tani eino gov me emurim, that which we just said that you'll go and collect from the emurim. Isn't that pashut? He says, no, hakamashul, and the chiddush is, the ein gover mi bisaro kineged emurim, that we break apart this shortam shlomim, this shlomim's ox that had never gored before, so you don't pay chatzi nezek, but you break it apart as if this shortam had two components to it. There is the basar component to it, and there is the emurin component to it. And Rashi says, kigon shor shovim asayim. So let's say this shlomim was worth 200 zuz. Shinogach shor shovim asayim. And a gored in ox that was worth 200 zuz. So if you're dealing over here with a classical case of a regular shor tam that went and gored another shor, so it would have to pay half the damages. So if this shor tam was worth 200, you would take its value, which is 200, and pay the damages, the half damages. It gored in ox worth 200, so the half damage is 100. You take from this short time that was worth 200, you take 100 from the short time and go and pay the nizak with that. Now here, we're talking about that each of the shvarim, the shlomim shor that gored the regular shor, each of them is worth 200. So, shor shovim asayim shenoga, shor shovim asayim. Eino gove elechatzi dmei besoro. Like we said, you only would take $100 from, if it was not a shlomim, you'd only take $100. But here, here we're dealing with that we view this shor that's a shlomim as being two separate animals, so to say. There is the basar part and there is the emurim part. So let's assume that the basar, which is much more than the emurim, so let's assume that the basar was worth 150 of the 200 zuz, and the emurim was only worth 50 of the 200 zuz. So in this situation, you only can collect the chatzi nezek from the 150 basar part. So you'd only give 75, that you pay chatzi nezek from the 150 basar part, and then you'd have to go and theoretically collect the other 25 from the 50 that is the emurim part. Chatzi nezek from the 50 the emurim. But since the emurim are totally going up on the mizbeach, you don't have the right to go and collect from that part. So the bottom line is, we don't say, well, the basar part's worth 150, and you have to pay chatzi nezek, which is 100, so take the full 100 from the 150, and that should be the payment. No, we said we view it as two separate aspects of this shor. There's the basar part, you pay chatzi nezek from the basar, and you theoretically would pay chatzi nezek from the emurim, which you can't. So therefore, you'd only pay 75 in this situation and not 100. So that's the chiddush over here that Rabbi Abba is telling us, that you view this as two separate animals. And this actually is a machlokas that we have later on in the Gemara, on Daf Nun Gimel, where we have a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Nosson. So now the Gemara is going to say, Aliba Deman, Rabbi Abba, when he's making his statement, does it go according to the opinion of the Chachamim, or does it go according to the opinion of Rabbi Nosson, which we'll explain in a moment what those opinions are. So, Ileba Deman, who are we going, Aliba Deman, E Aliba de Rabbanon, if you're telling me it goes like the opinion of the Rabbanon. Now the Rabbanon there, in that Mishnah, on Daf Nun Gimel Omid Aleph, it tells us that if you have a shor that went and pushed another shor into a bar, so there's two aspects of damage over here. There's the negicha, the goring, and then it fell into a pit, and the pit damaged as well. Now, if we're dealing with a short tam, so the short tam would only pay chatzi nezek, but the bar is muad mitchilaso, so the bar would pay full nezek. So in this situation, we have the short tam pushing another short into a bar. So if you hold like the Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon hold over there that you don't go and collect from one to the other. So we leave the Rabbanon pshita, because the Chacham say, Ha'amre, ki leko lishtalu me mihai, lo mishtalu mihai. So in the situation where the Chacham say the shor that gored, you're only paying half the damages. That's a short tam. So again, let's assume that the shor that was gored was worth 200. And the shor that gored the nizak was also worth 200. So in this situation, the shor shenogach, which is a short tam, would have to pay half the damages, would therefore pay 100. And the other bar would not pay anything, according to the opinion of the Chachamim. That's the way Tosos understands this. If you look in the top Tosos, Pirish Bekuntris, he says, Eli with the Rabbanon, the Pligel of the Rabbi Nosson, that's the Machlokas that we've been talking about on Daf Nun Gimel. So, Gabi Shor, Shedochaf Chadero Libor, the goring ox pushed the other ox into a bar. The Omar, in regards to a Tam, the Balashor Mishal Mechza, so the Balashor would have to pay 100, Ubalabor Potter, according to the Chachamim, because the Shor Shenogach is the damaging animal. The pit isn't the damager, according to the Chachamim, and therefore, Alma Kileko Lish Talume Mi Balashor, since the Balashor, it's a short time, is only paying 100, you might think that you get the other 100 from the Balabor. So the Chachamim say, Lo Mishtame Mi Balabor, we do not make you have the Balabor pay the remaining 100. Even though you find the animal at the bottom of the pit, nevertheless, we say it's the goring ox that caused the damage. And therefore, it would be pashut, aliba the rabbanon, who say that you can only collect from the shore that was nagach in that situation and not from the pit. So that's analogous here to the basar and the emurim. So in that situation on Daf Nun Gimel, we don't say that the shor that gored can only pay half, and therefore the boar, the Baal HaBor, should have to pay the other half. No, we say no, that doesn't apply. So alas kama v'kama over here, if you can't collect from the emurim, you wouldn't go and collect more from the basar. So Rabbi Abba couldn't be saying his statement according to the Rabbanon. It wouldn't be necessary. You can tell me, yeah, leave it to Rabbi Nosson. Now, Rabbi Nosson over there had said that if you can't collect the full damages from the shor that was nagach, so then you do pick up the other half from the Baal HaBor. So, if it's according to Rabbi Nosson, yeah, leave it to Rabbi Nosson, ha'amar, ki lekel ishtalumi mehai, mishtalumi mehai, if you can't collect the full damages from the shor shenagach because it's a short time, then you do collect the other half from the Baal HaBor, so then, similarly over here, if you can't collect it from the Emurim part, so then collect the full 100 from the Basar part and not only get 75. So what is Rabbi Abba's Chiddush over here? It can't be according to the Rabbanon, it can't be according to Rav Nosson. So Gemara says, no, he actually could answer it both ways. If you wanted to, you could say the Rabbi Abba is going according to the Rabbi Nosson. If you want to say, you could go according to the Chachamim. Ibai say the Rabbi Nosson, Ibai say the Rabbanon. Rabbi Abba's Chiddush over here works whether you hold like the Chachamim or whether you hold like the Rabbanon. As Gemara now explains, Ibai say the Rabbanon. Even if you want to say that the din is like the Rabbanon, that you can't collect from the Baal HaBor, if it's the shor that Nogach was a tam, so that's it. You only collect from the shor Shenogach, and you don't collect from the Baal HaBor. So that would only be true. Hani Mili betray Gufi. That's because there were two damages there. There was the shor Shenogach, and there's the pit, the bor. So therefore, in that situation, you can't collect from both. However, Abu Bukhat Gufa, in our case of the Shlomim, it's one body. The Basar and the Emurim aren't two separate entities. It's the same body. Abu Bechad Gufa, Motzi Amarle, Mikol Hecho Debaino, Mishtalimna. Wherever I can go and collect, I'm going to collect from. No, it's one entity. So if I can't collect from the Emurim, I'm going to collect the full 100 from the Basar. So therefore, Rabbi Abba's Chiddush is going even according to the opinion of the Chachamim on Daf Nun Gimel. Alternatively, Ibai Seva Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Abba's Chiddush could go even according with the Shita of Rabbi Nosson that you can collect from the Baal HaBor if the Baal HaShor is only paying half damages. And the reason why, because it's awesome in that situation, Hu Domalei Baal HaShor Lo Baal HaBor. And only in that situation can the owner of the damaged animal say to the owners of the pit and to the owner of the bor, listen, Ana Turoi Bebiroch Ashkachte, my dead animal is in your pit. So listen, if that guy with the owner of the short time pays me half, I'm going to collect the other half from you. So because my, because bottom line is, my dead ox is in the bottom of your pit. I'll collect what I can from him, and the rest I'm going to collect from you. That is the opinion of Rabbi Nassim. If you can't collect from one, you go collect from the other, the full amount. And we turn to your Gimel Medeis. However, Avol Hocha, in the case of the Shlomim, you know what? Me Matzi Amar Basar Izik Emurin Lo Azik. Here you can't say it's two separate entities. It's the same entity. You can't say over here that the Basar part of the Shor did the damage, but not the Emurin part. No, it's one entity. And therefore, how can you say that, well, if you can't collect from one, you can collect from the other? It's all the same entity. So therefore, you're only allowed to collect from the Basar what you're allowed to collect from the Basar. And the fact that you can't collect from the Emurin doesn't mean that now you collect more from the Basar. So you'll only collect 75 from the Basar, and the other 25 you're not able to collect. Even according to Rabbi Nassan, from the Emurin, you can't go and collect the other 25 from the Basar. So therefore, Rabbi Abbas Kiddush can go both according to the opinion of the Chachamim and according to the opinion of Rabbi Nassim. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, Rav tells us another halacha, Toda. If the animal that does the damage was a carbon Toda, and this ox that's a carbon Toda goes and damages Shizika, so then you have the similar rule, Govem Yibisara, you go and collect the damages, if this was a short time, only from the Basar, and the Eino Govem Milachba. You don't have to tell me, of course, from the Emurim that we already said previously, but here with the carbon Toda, there were 40 breads that are bought, four types of 10 breads each. 30 of them are matzah, and 10 of them are actually chametz. So these 40 breads that are brought, ain't a govim l'lachma. The person who was damaged, the nizak, has no right to take his portion of the damage from those breads. Which says, obviously, lechem pshita, what did the bread have to do with the damage? So the ox damaged, so we can understand why there could be a question. The basar, the emurim, but the lechem, certainly not. So the Gemara says, no, that's obviously not the reason that this was stated, that Rava made his din, elosev v'tzrichalei. Rava then said, Nizak Ochel Basar, that the Nizak in this situation will eat the Basar of the Toda. However, the person who had the obligation to bring the carbon Toda, he was through one of the four situations where a person is obligated to bring a carbon Toda. The beautiful mnemonic for this is Chaim. The person went through any of these four things is obligated to bring carbon Toda. So the Ches stands for a person who was sick and he got better. The first Yud stands for a person who had Yisurim, meaning that he was in jail and he was freed from jail. The next Yud is for Yam, person who crossed the Yam successfully, so he has to give thanks. And the Mem stands for Midbar, person who crossed the desert successfully. So all of these people have an obligation to bring Karban Toda. And of course, a person can bring Karban Toda at other times as well. So this Karban Toda was designated, and then this Karban Toda went and did damage, so you are only allowed to go collect from the bread in this situation. And the person who brings the Karban Toda is obligated to bring the bread. So the Gemara tells us, in this situation, of course, the person who was damaged can't eat from the bread. He's not entitled to the bread. But I would have said, Ma'u detema, kiven de lechem hechshero dezevachu, since the bread is coming along to be machshir the carbon, so maybe the person who was obligated to bring the carbon toda, so he could say to the person who was damaged, listen, you're eating all the meat, so you bring the bread. Lemolei, at achlis basar. You're getting all the benefit from this carbon toda. You're eating all the meat from the carbon toda. I should go and bring the bread. So that's what Rav is telling us. Yeah, kamash v'lan. The lechem chiyuv de balamu. Yes, you're getting your kapara. You're getting your obligation fulfilled by bringing this carbon toda. So despite the fact that you're not eating the meat, nevertheless, you are obligated to go bring the bread and not the person who's eating the meat. The one who is nizak, he's going to have the advantage of eating the basar to make up for the damage that was done to his animal, but he doesn't have any obligation to bring the bread. The person who's bringing the carbon toda, he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so even though he's not eating the meat, he is the one that has to pay for the bread. Then we quote the Mishnah that said, Nechasim Shehem Shal Bnei Bris. If you have properties that were not belonging to a member of Klal Yisrael, so then the damages laws don't apply. So they only apply to those that are members of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, Lemute Mai, What is this coming to specifically exclude? So as we said, if you're telling me that it comes to exclude Ovi Kochavim, which is a simple understanding, so then how come it says it in our Mishnah, and it also is going to say it in the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayinu Medeis? Haktani lo likaman. We're going to learn this. It says there, Beferish in the Mishnah on Lamed Zayinu Medeis, Shor Shal Yisrael, Shenogach, Shor Shal Ovi Kochavim Potter, that if you have an ox that belongs to a Yiddish person that goes and gores an ox that belongs to an Ovi Kochavim, so the dinim are that it's Potter. The Gemara there will explain what this is based upon. It's based upon Psukim. And the bottom line is that you're not obligated to pay. So we already learned that then on Lamed Zayin Rebbeis. Why is it reiterated in our Mishnah over here? So Gemara says, yeah, that's sometimes the style. Tana, in our Mishnah, teaches us the general rules. For all the Mefarshim over there, we'll go into it in much more detail and explain the din much better. Okay. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Nechasim HaMiyuchadim. We said that there are Nechasim that are specified properties, so then the din of Nezik applies. As opposed to what? Lemute Mai. As opposed to what properties are not included in this Nechas Miuchadim. Now, we learned the Mishnah. I only gave one of the pshat of the Gemara here now. First, the Gemara has another pshat. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda. Yehuda tells us that when it says Nechas Miuchadim are included in the din of property, so Lemute, Zeh Omer Shor Chahizik, Zeh Omer Shor Chahizik. So the individual that was damaged, he doesn't know specifically who damaged him. So he says to Reuven, hey, it was your ox that damaged me. And Reuven says, no, it was Shimon's ox that damaged you. And he goes to Shimon and says, it was your ox that damaged me. And Shimon says, no, it was Reuven's ox that damaged me. So, that damaged you. So, Limute, Zeo Mer Shor Chizik, Zeo Mer Shor Chizik. Each of them is claiming it wasn't my ox. And he doesn't have witnesses, he doesn't have proof. So then, in this situation, we don't go and make a payment out of doubt. So Gemara says, we also learned that. We have a Beferish Mishnah that says over there that in that situation, there were two oxen that were running after this ox that eventually got damaged, and we don't know which one did it. There are no witnesses. So Reuven says, no, it was Shimon's ox that did the damage. Shimon says, no, it was Reuven's ox that did the damage. So then, since we say, all of Araya, we only in this situation go and force a person to pay if we have vaday proof, but otherwise you say Amos b'chmer olav raya, we don't take money out of doubt. We only take money when it's definitive. So we already have this. So why is it telling us in our Mishnah? So the same terrors that we gave a moment ago in regards to the Nachri, Tani, v'hadim farsh. Over here, we give the general rules, and there it will be going into much more detail to explain why the din is that. Now, that's the first explanation that we have for Nechasim Yichadim. The Masnisa Tan and Abraisa, we had a second explanation. This was the one that I mentioned when we learned the Mishnah, Prat Lenichse Hefker, as opposed to Hefker items where you don't have the dinum of damage. And the more questions and says, doesn't make any sense. What do you mean Hefker items? Hechidam, what's the case? If you're telling me, Ilema de Nogach Tura di Don, Latura de Hefker, if you're saying that our ox over here, the person's ox, went and gored an ox of Hefker, so then who's asking him to go pay damages? What would be the Havamina to think that you should pay? Who would you pay it to? It's a Hefker ox. Man tovalate. There is no damager. There's no Nizak that's coming to say, hey, you damaged me, because the ox belongs to nobody. You're going to tell me, Ella, the Nogach Tur de Hefker, a Hefker ox went and gored his ox, the Nogach Tur de Hefker, Latur de Don. So this Nizak has a tain against that Hefker ox. So go take it. Lays over lace it. Who's stopping you from going to take that ox to pay for your damages? It's a Hefker ox. So Gemara says, what's the case? So Ella, the din is, the Gemara says, Bishakodam Vizochabo Acher. Yes, originally the ox was owned by nobody, and it gored your ox. So it was a Hefker ox that gored your ox. But now, before you had a chance to go and grab it, somebody else was Zocha in that ox. So now that ox is no longer Hefker. So one might have thought, well, in that situation, hey, that Hefker ox gored me. So despite the fact that you now own it, I should be entitled to it. Oh, so the Chiddush of the Gemara is, in this situation, Kishu Kodam Zocha Bo'acher, tough luck. That person who now is Zoch in that ox doesn't have to go and take that ox and give it to you to pay for the damages, because at the time that the damages were done, the ox was in fact Hefker. So that's the second pshat that we have for this Miuchodim. We have a third pshat, Ravino Amar, again, when it says the name of the Amoro first, it means he's not arguing with the previous explanations, he's saying an additional explanation, Ravina Amar, as opposed to Amar Ravina. So Ravina Amar, Lemute Nogach, it's coming to exclude the case where the ox gored, and then the owner of the ox, V'achakach Hikdish, he then went and was Makdishdach, or Nogach, the ox gored, while it belonged to the person, V'achakach Hifker, and then he subsequently made it Hefker. In this situation, you can't go and collect it from Hikdish, you can't go collect it from the owner of the ox. He says, go get the ox, it's Hefker, and now I don't know where the ox is, it's your problem, it's not my problem anymore. Now, the Mefarshim point out, you can only say that this occurred when he was makdish it, or that he was mafgrid, that you can't collect from him, is if he did it unknowing that his ox did the damage. If his ox did the damage, and then he's going to be makdish it, and then he's going to be mafgrid, so then if you let him get away with that, then everybody would do that. So therefore, the din is that only if it was done inadvertently, he didn't know his ox scored and he was makdish the ox, or he didn't know the ox scored and he was mafgrid the ox. So then in that situation, the din is that you can't go and collect from him, and you can't go collect from Hektish, and you can't go and force him to pay for the ox that he was mafkir. If you get the ox, gizun deit, it's yours. But if you don't have the ox, you can't go back to the original owner. And the Gemara says that Ravina's teretz is Tanya Nami Hochi. We have a brisa that actually says this as well. Now, the brisa is commenting on a Mishnah that says that a Hektish ox or a Hefker ox, there is no din of Shor HaNiskal in regards to those oxen. And in fact, the Braisa adds on, Yasser HaKein Amar Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda adds on to this din, and he says, not only is there no din of the din of Shor HaNiskal by a Hektish ox or a Hefker ox, Afilu Nagach, even if it gored while it was owned by somebody, and only afterwards, inadvertently, the owner didn't know that it killed somebody, V'achakach Hektish, he was Makdish it, or Nagach V'achakach Hefker, the ox gored and killed somebody, the owner didn't know that, and he was Mavkir it, so then, in this situation, there is also no din of Shor HaNiskal in this situation as well, because the Pasuk says, Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'im Shor Nagachu Mitmo Shoshom, V'hu Ad Bivolov, V'lo Yishberenu, another famous pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Rav Shechter Shlita said over that the olden days they used to give smicha to people that knew all of Parshas Mishpatim. They were able to make all the drashos. They understood all the gemaras of Parshas Mishpatim. Oh, that person was competent to be a rav. He knew all of the gemaras of Nezikin, so he could paskin shilas. In any event, so the pasuk tells us that it has to be one din across the board. So it has to be achete miso vihamodu bedin, that the ox gored and killed somebody, and you brought it to judgment. It has to be shomim kiyachal, the ox has to be the same. It has to be owned by somebody the entire time. It can't be owned only during the time that it gored, and then subsequently was made hektish or was made into hefker. No, it has to be the same ownership the entire time. It means it has to be owned by a person the entire time. That's what the pasuk comes to teach us. Where it says, but that seems to say only at the hamada b'din, only when you bring it to the din. But ukmar din lo bo'inan, and it doesn't have to be owned still by the person at the time of the gmar din. The pasuk says ha hashor yisokel, which is of course the gamba lo b'yumas. At the end of the pasuk, it says hashor yisokel b'gmar dinu d'chsev. Obviously, it's only called the shor haniskal at the time of the gmar din. So therefore, how can you tell me that that doesn't include the gmar din? The pasuk seems to say that it should. Or it says you're right. Ela ema achete misa v'hamada b'din and ugmar din shavim kiyachad. So that's the third and final explanation of the miyuchadim that we talked about in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah said, chutz me'rishus hamiyuchedis l'masik. We said that all of these laws of nezik only apply when it's not done in the place where the masik was allowed to be. It's in a the damage was done where the masik didn't have a right to be. But if it's in the rishus of the masik, so then you can go and basically say to the person, what are you doing in my rishus? The amalei, toroch, be rishusi, my boy. Hey, my ox is a, you know, damaging ox. I know that. I was very careful. I kept it in the corral. You brought your ox in the corral and in surprise, my ox gored your ox? Well, that's your problem. If it's in the rishus of the masik, so then the nizak has no rights. Then we quote the Mishnah, which is the next statement in the Mishnah after that, and it's a question of whether this is just a follow-up on the first statement of Chutz Mishus HaMiyuchedes L'Mazik, or it's a new statement. So it said, Urishus HaNizak VeHamazik, and if it's in a place where both the Nizak and the Mazik had a right to be. So what's the halach over here? So Amar Reb Chista, Amar Avimi, the first way to understand this is the way that Reb Chista said the name of Avimi, that we're dealing over here with Chotzer HaShutvin, that both the Nizak and the Mazik had the right to be there. And in this situation, it's different than Mirushus Hamiyuchedes Lamazik. Here, Chayiv Ba Al Shein Va Regel, and certainly for Karen, that in this situation, you're Chayiv for any damage that your ox did. Yes, you had the right to be there, but so did he have the right to be there, and any damage that's done by your ox, Shein Va Regel, would be obligated to go and pay for it, even though you had the right to be there, because he also had the right to be there. And this is where you have to understand the pasuk. V'achi Kamar, when the Mishnah tells us, Chutz Mirushus Hamiyuchedes Lamazik, so that's a separate din. the potter, only there are you potter, as opposed to a Rishus that both of them have the right to go to, Rishus HaNizach via Mazik, so then, Kishahizik, Chov HaMazik, in that situation, if damage is done, so then you are obligated to pay because the Nizak had the right to be there, and therefore you have the right to be there. But if you cause damage, if you don't protect your animal, watch your animal, so then you are in fact going to have to pay. So that's the opinion of Rechista Amar Avimi, that the din is different in the Rishus of the Mazik and Nizak versus the Rishus of the Mazik alone. Rabbi Loza disagrees. Rabbi Loza Amar, no. Potter al Hashem v'al HaRegel. You would not be obligated to go pay for Shein and Regel in the situation where the Nizak and the Mazik had the right to be there. And V'Holchi Kamar, this is what the Mishnah is telling us. When it said, Chutz mi Rishus HaMiyuchedes LaMazik, that you certainly don't pay if the damage was done in the place where it was the Rishus of the Mazik, and as well, Urishus HaNizak LaMazik Nami Potter. Also, if even though the Nizak had the right to be there, but as long as the Mazik had the right to be there, you're also Potter for Shein and Regel. Aye. What does it say next? Ukishahizik Chav HaMazik, in the situation that you are obligated to pay when it was the Rishus of the Nizak and the Mazik, that's only Lasuya Karen. It's not Shein V'Regel, that's only Karen. Karen, you're always obligated to pay for, even if the Mazik and the Nizak had the right to be there. So then you have to pay for Karen. The only time you don't pay for Karen is if it was in the Rishus purely of the Mazik. So then the Mazik can say to the Nizak, hey, Torah B'Rishusi, my boy. But here, he had the right to be there. So therefore, Shein and Rego, you don't pay, but Karen, you have to pay. Now, the Gemara says, if you remember back to the first Shiur in the Masechta, Hanichel Shmuel, we had a question, what is Maver? Remember, we had a Machlokas. Shmuel said that Maver was teaching us Shein, and that Rav said that Mada was teaching us the din of Adam. So according to Shmuel, that when you have Shor and then you have Mada, it's teaching us the din of Shein and Regel and not Karen. So then we understand why Hanichel Shmuel, that we do obligate you for the din of Karen, but we don't obligate you for the din of Shein and Regel. Hanichel Shmuel works out very well to Shmuel, who says that Karen is excluded from the Arba Ovos Nezikin, Arba Ovos Nezikin that we discussed in the Mishnah. El Rav, who says no, that when we say Shor, it means Shein, Regel, and Karen, because he uses Mada to teach us Adam. So, El Rav, the Omar, Tana, Shor, the Chomile, the Shor, when we have the Arba, Ovis, the Zekin, in the Mishnah, saying Shor, it means Shor, which includes Shein, Regel, and Karen. So then, why do we need our Mishnah to tell us Chava Mazik, Lasu Yemai? It doesn't come to include Karen. So, what is it coming to include? So the Gemara says, according to Rav, it is coming to include that which the Chachamim taught in the following Brisa. It says in the Brisa, Kishahizik Chav HaMazik, when damage is done over here, you're obligated to pay. That comes to include the four Shomrim. Lohavi, Shomachinam, Vashoel, Vanosisocha, Vyasocha. Remember, when we learned the Mishnah, we said that our Mishnah said Arba Ovos Nezikin, but then we had the opinion of Reb Chiya, we had the opinion of Reb Chista that said, no, there were 13, there were 24. So the four Shomrim are included in this statement over here, Kishahizik Chav HaMazik. And what is that talking about? The four Shomrim, the Shomer Chinam, the one who's not paid, the Shol, the one who borrows, the Nosei Sachar, the one who's getting paid to be a Shomer, and Vasocha, the one who rents. So all of these Dinim, they have their own specific rules in terms of damage. And the Brisa tells us, Sheziko Behema Birushusan, if an animal causes damage in their Rishus, so then Tam Mishalim Chatzi Nezik, Umu Mishalim Nezik Shalim. So the dinim of Karen apply here, that if it's a short Tam, you pay half damages, if it's a short Mu'ad, you pay the full damages. And then the Brisa concludes and says, but Nivritz of Alayla, if the animal got out at night because the wall fell down, and this was a sturdy wall, and it wasn't expected to fall down, so it was a proper shmira. Oh, shepartzu listem, or robbers came in and broke down the wall, and that's how the animal got out. The yotz of Izika, and the animal got out, and it did damage, so then in that situation, you're potter. Now, let's understand this brisa. The Gemara says, oh, Mamar, we're going to go back now and dissect this brisa. We said, kishizik, chav hamazik, lavi shomachina vashol, nosi soch vasocher. The answer, according to Rav, is that this brisa is coming to teach us the words in the Mishnah. When it says, kishizik, chav hamazik, it's coming to teach us the din of four shomrim. What exactly is the case that we're being taught that yuchayiv, the four shomrim, yuchayiv, hechidami? What are the cases over here? Ilema, we're talking about the azke Torah de mashil, le Torah de shoel. If we're telling us over here that the person who lent the animal to the person who borrowed the animal, the mashil is the one who lends the animal to the shoel, who's the one that borrows the animal. So if you're telling us over here that the animal that was being lent, the Torah de mashil, did damage to another animal of the Torah de shoel, a different animal that the shoel had, so then why would you say that he should be chayiv in that situation? Lay malay, let the person who lent the animal say to the person who borrowed the animal, let the mashal say to the shoel, ilu azik bi alma. If my ox had damaged someone else's ox, so then you're responsible. You're the show. You have to go and watch my animal. So bo'iz l'shalum mi'at, you would have to go and pay to anybody else that my ox in your possession damaged. So certainly, hashto the askei l'sorah didach, it happened to damage your own ox. So bo'iz l'shalum mi'at, now you want me to pay? Of course I don't pay. If you're watching my ox and it damages somebody else, you're chayiv to pay. So if you're watching my ox and it damages your ox, so it's your problem. It's not my problem. Why would I be chayiv to pay? Ah, so then that can't be the case. Ella, the case must be Ella the Aske Torah the Shoel, the Torah the Mashal. That the Shoel, the one who borrowed the ox, actually had another ox of his own. And his own personal ox damaged the borrowed ox that he got. So now in this situation, the person who lent it, the Mashal, can tell the borrower, what? You don't want to be chayiv in this situation? Lemulei, ilu idzak mi'alma, if you had gone and damaged somebody else, so, bo'is l'shulmei kuli Torah, you'd have to go pay the full damages, even this was a tam. You're obligated as the shul to go pay the full damages. You don't get to say, well, it was a short tam, I only get to pay half of it. So, hashtu di'aski Torah didoch, now that it was your ox that was a short tam that damaged my ox, what, you want to say you only have to pay half? No, absolutely not. You have to pay me full damages. So what exactly is the Mishnah telling us? It doesn't seem to fit in either way. So Gemara says, in fact, it's the first way that we learned it. Leolam the Aske Torah de Mashil, the Torah de Shol. That the shore of the Mashil, the borrowed ox, actually damaged the Shoel's other ox that he had. And here's the Chiddush. You know what we're dealing with over here? That this borrower, this Shoel, Shekib Elolov Shmiras Gufo, he said, yes, I'll be responsible to make sure that your ox that I'm borrowing doesn't get damaged. But we turn to Yudalad Rodal, but I didn't take upon myself the responsibility for any damage that it does. Velokib Elolov Shmiras Nizokov, I accepted responsibility that it wouldn't get damaged, but I never took upon myself the responsibility that I should be responsible if it damages somebody else. And Tosus says, the Im Tomar, Top Tosus, Im Tomar, Kiva the Lokibel Ale Pshita. So then what's the Chiddush? If he didn't accept upon himself to pay for damages, if it went to damage, so then Pshita, why would I need the Mishnah to tell me this? Because the Tam Mishalim Chatzin Nezik, Umum Mishalim Nezik Shalom, he didn't accept upon himself that. So Tosus says, no, the Chiddush is, Vyesh Lomar. The Sol Kedaitach, I might have thought, yes, the Shmiras Nizyokin, the Alma Lokibel, he didn't accept upon himself that he would be responsible for damages that he did to anybody else. However, certainly, Aval Anizokin Litura de Shoel Gufe, but to his own ox, he certainly accepted that he wouldn't be held liable for damaging the Shoel's own ox. So that's the Chiddush that Tosa says. Now, the Gemara says, if this is true, Ihachi, so then keep on reading. Then how do you understand the rest of the Brisa? Ema Sefer, the rest of the Brisa says that Nivrus of Alayla, if the wall that was there, which was a sturdy wall, fell down unexpectedly during the night, or Oshin Partsu Alistim, or robbers came along and broke the wall, and that's how the ox got out, Biotza, it went out, Vehizika, and it gored. So in that situation, you're Potter. That implies that only in that situation, you're Potter. Implication being, Ha, Bayom, Chayev, that you would be Chayev if this happened during the day. But you just said that the guy didn't accept upon himself, Ha, Lokiba, love Shemir Sazakim, so why should he be Chayev during the day? So Gemara says, no, it's two different explanations over here. You have to read this in the following way. Hochi Kamar. If Kibel, E Kibel, Olav Shmiras Nizokov, then Chayev, then it would be Chayev during the daytime. In our case, however, he didn't accept it. But another statement, if he did accept upon himself Shmiras Nizokov, then of course he would be Chayev to pay. However, that would only be if it was a normal expected situation. But Nifritz of Alaylo, Shapurzu Listim, if the wall, which is a sturdy wall, fell down, or robbers came in and broke the wall down, and that's how the Yotzah, the ox, got out, Bezika, and it damaged, in that situation, even though he accepted upon himself Shmiras Nizokov, and he would normally be chayiv for that, in this unusual situation, he would be potter. This is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's shir. Shalom Ayisrael.